Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make the Universe Into Your Marketing Department. My name is Shel Horowitz, and I will be interviewing Marilyn Janay tonight. We're going to have a very nice conversation for you. Marilyn is a renowned prosperity mentor, an accomplished businesswoman, and the owner of a company that served the corporate arena for 20 years. Marilyn overcame her own, quote, lack, unquote, consciousness to create a former business that attracted some of the world's largest corporate clients as well as major media publicity. She did this all without any traditional marketing, advertising, or even networking. She just used her prosperity principles and, as she says, the universe as her marketing department. Her achievements, the result of applying these prosperity laws that she now teaches in her Feel Free to Prosper program, and we will be telling you later how to get that at a significant discount, is a simple yet powerful lesson and mentoring program based on the mental and spiritual laws that traditionally create results very quickly, even within 2 weeks. Marilyn founded her program to mentor and teach others to become aligned with universal laws and accept their right to prosper. She has helped thousands of students from around the globe and from all walks of life. Marilyn's fascinating online memoir, Feel Free to Prosper, an entrepreneurial memoir of synchronicity and guidance, has attracted tens of thousands of views. Literary agents and publishing offers, I really have a case of bottle mouth tonight. I don't know what's going on. My tongue's all twisted up. I will start that line again. Marilyn's fascinating online memoir, Feel Free to Prosper, an entrepreneurial memoir of synchronicity and guidance, has attracted tens of thousands of views, literary agents, and publishing offers based on her teachings. Her books will soon be published. Marilyn's promise, which she does not make lightly, is to show you how to manifest unexpected income and unexpected solutions to your most pressing problems in just 2 weeks. Thousands of people have applied her simple, fast, and practical techniques to gently create a new dominant thought in the subconscious mind and connect to their universal source of supply. Marilyn will take the mystery out of these esoteric laws and teach you how to turn your universe, the universe, into your marketing department. So some of the things we're going to cover on the call: what are these mental and spiritual laws? Why affirmations, which I'm sure you've all heard about, may not bring you the results you want? Why not only should you not try to create success, that trying won't get you there. Why you think your source of income stems from is not necessarily your source of income, and what your source of income really is. Looking at specific words you say that can interfere with your success, and the single most immediate thing you can do right now to increase your income. Marilyn, it is a pleasure to have you here. This much delayed call with circumstance after circumstance coming up at the last minute, we finally got it happening. I'm delighted to have you here. Why don't you start by telling people a little bit about your background and how you came to do this work?
Well, thank you, Shel, and I'm very happy to be here because, yes, hello, everyone. Shel and I have been trying to coordinate our schedules and get together to do a call for for some time now, so here we are. All right, my background. My favorite thing is to teach, but you need to have a little idea where I'm coming from so that you will be able to trust what I have to tell you tonight, because we're going to be reaching in areas that may not be familiar with to many of you, and I'm just going to ask you to open your mind and listen to what I have to say, because as we go through this, by the time we get done, it's going to make a lot of sense. So start with my story. Well, let's start with my parents. They were good people, decent people, but they had a very negative consciousness about money and about life. And the legacy I got from them was a struggle mentality. And I know many of you out there are going to be able to relate to that. What was that?
Including me.
Okay, well, then this calls for you too, Shel. So I went into the world with this consciousness of struggle, not being able to meet my needs. But thankfully, something in my soul just drove me to find out what is going on here in this game of life. Why is it that some people can succeed and accomplish in life and others cannot? And I was driven to study and to totally immerse myself in the teachings of the great icons that came before us. And those were the legendary, the brilliant masters of mental and spiritual science. And I know some of this is going to see, again, to some of you it may seem unfamiliar, but just listen and you'll understand as I go along. So I buried myself into these teachings and the literature, and I had some changes. I had some shifts, but I still wasn't at the point where I wanted to be. What I really wanted, I wanted to make a mark in the world. I wanted to do something meaningful. I wanted to accomplish. I did not want to be like my parents. There came a point when I was reaching a milestone age, and no, I'm not going to tell you what that age is. I said, that's it. I've had it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have a breakthrough. I'm going to make something of myself, and I'm going to get this done. And I really decided I was going to take everything that I had learned. Now, well, let me ask you this. Does this sound familiar? You've learned it all. You read all the books. You attended the seminars. You have all the information in your head, but somehow you don't seem to be able to incorporate it into your everyday life. Well, that's what I was determined to do. I didn't go to seminars. All of my learning came from literature, from the written words of these great teachers, and I had a couple of living teachers. So I said to myself, I'm going to take these laws, because it's all in my head. I know how it works, but I'm going to take them, and I'm going to make them work, and I'm going to change my life. Now, remember, I made a determined decision at that point. No more fooling around. So that's important. I said, I'm going to overcome this, what I call a lack consciousness. Since I teach the power of words, I know how significant our words are, so I don't like that P word, if you understand what I'm saying. All right, poverty consciousness. I don't like the word poverty, so let's say lack consciousness, a little softer. I made the decision that I was going to do the homework, and I'm going to succeed. And what I did is I took the essence of all of this great knowledge of the prosperity laws, of the universal laws, and I put it in very simple, very doable format so that I could use and apply them. And that's what worked. That's what I did. I had my life.
How long a process was this for you, Marilyn?
Well, you're asking me to go back decades here. I would say very quickly, the shift. I had a life-changing breakthrough, and it happened, I'm saying, within a couple of months. Actually, the timeline, if listeners want to then read my entrepreneurial memoir, which is still free to read online until the book is published, they will get the timeline in the memoir. But it was very, very quick. When I had made the decision and I put these laws into a very simple form, that was the secret for me. That was the key. The key was taking these esoteric concepts and putting them in very doable, simple techniques so that my mind can accept them. How it would work for everyone else, I don't know back then. I just did what I was intuitively led to do. So what I did is I broke everything down into the doable, simple format, and I had that life-changing breakthrough. I am skipping over a lot of detail here for the sake of time, but I did have a major breakthrough to the point where I found myself with a new business, actually in an industry that I didn't even know existed. It was a business that the universe handed me. Once I became aligned with that power that we're going to talk about tonight, and that power, that presence that knows the answer, it knows our destiny for each and every one of us. It knows where we belong. Once I aligned myself with that power, I ended up on the cover of the Los Angeles Times with my new business, a pioneer company that I created for the special event industry. And in 20 years, and again, I'm skipping over a lot of detail, but this is literal. You might not think it is, but it is. I mean this literally. In 20 years of having that business, I never advertised, I never marketed, I never cold called, I didn't join any trade organizations, I didn't network, and yet my little one-woman company here in Los Angeles, where, of course, millions of people come here to try to achieve their dreams, my little one-woman company attracted the biggest corporations in the world. It seems magical.
As well as huge media coverage. And I think it's worth pointing out, Marilyn, that the enormous coverage you've gotten, and I've seen your clips. They're very impressive. We're talking about full-page coverage at the front sections. In Los Angeles, it's not like where I live in Podunkville here. You are competing with very, very accomplished publicists, with people who have a lot of money to throw at resources for getting publicity. It is not as easy to get coverage in the LA Times and some of the other publications that covered you as it is in my own little local paper, the Daily Hampshire Gazette. It's very, very competitive, and yet you got enormous amounts of ink. So this is something that people should know as we go forward.
And we're going to talk, we could talk a little bit more about that later, but yes, I had amazing media coverage. All of the proof, again, is in my memoir, which I will say again is, I'm not selling a book here tonight. It's free to read. It's had 42,000 views, got me book deals, but my memoir, it tells everything in detail about what happened back then. I was on the cover of the LA Times with my new business. Now remember, I had no resources, no budget. I had no business background, and I didn't mention this earlier. You didn't mention it. I had no formal education. I had no background in the business world. So we're talking about major media publicity in a city like Los Angeles, which that article was picked up by Associated Press and went around the world. I was in every major newspaper in the United States and internationally, and I was getting calls for more pictures. They all wanted different pictures. And it was really, really, yeah, it seemed like magic. It was magical. Am I a genius? Am I a magician? No. I tuned in to this presence, this power we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm going to teach you tonight these laws, these principles that I used. Okay? So here it is, my little one-woman company. I made my mark. The universe handed me, it handed me a business in an industry that, let's go the other way now. The universe handed me a business in an industry that is most impacted by every negative disaster and recession. So I was knocked down several times. There was the Los Angeles riots, Northridge earthquake, national recessions, 9/11. I kept getting knocked down. The special event industry and the hospitality industries are the first to be impacted by anything like that. And it wasn't always easy. But you know something? Those were the times that taught me the most. That taught me what worked and what didn't work. I had no idea that two decades later, I would ever be teaching these laws to anybody else.
It might be helpful for people to understand exactly what you're talking about if you want to give them a frame of reference about what you actually did as Merrill and Janae Locations.
Well, we can get into that a little bit. I actually created, I started the company Merrill and Janae Locations because the first thing that a client thinks about for a special event is where are we going to have this event? And the film industry provided locations for filming, but no one had ever done that for events. But I was watching those signposts. As I said, I skipped over a lot of detail. I was watching the signposts. People, I started out by coordinating events, and then that was an accident. I fell into that. And that, again, that story's in the memoir, and that could take a whole call to talk about the magic that happened, how all the pieces of the puzzle fell into place. But everyone was looking. Caterers and event coordinators and clients were looking for places, unusual places to have their event. They didn't want just hotels or halls. They wanted something unusual. And that's the idea that came to me, have a location company for special events, like the film industry does for filming. So what I did is I provided the location, but the money was made in producing the event. I didn't even have to ask the client. They said, can you do anything else for us? These are great locations. We want this museum, or we want this theater, or we want this mansion. What can you do the whole event for us? Corporate, especially corporate and convention clients, they want one-stop shopping, especially if they're doing meetings in many cities. So I provided location and production service for events, for corporate and convention events. At the beginning, I did more social events, and eventually I dropped the lesser for the greater, and I went into corporate and convention. That was really the more lucrative. And some celebrity events, too. So that's exactly what Merrill and Janae Locations did. That was unusual. No one had a location company just for special events before. So it was the locations that drew the client. That was the draw. That's what drew the client to me. And remember,
go ahead.
In that time, there was no internet. There was no website. Everything had to be done through a different channel. And that channel is what we're talking about tonight. The universe is my marketing department. The universe is going to be your marketing department. We didn't
I'm absolutely fascinated, Marilyn, that you use the phrase, I fell into it, because I was dragged kicking and screaming by my clients into what has turned out to be the most lucrative and interesting part of my business. I didn't want to go there. I didn't feel qualified to do what people were asking me to do. And finally, I gave up resisting, and I embraced it. And since 2004, so for 9 years now, it has totally shifted the way I am in business and provided me with the bulk of my income and with a much, much higher ratio of dollars per client. So the message here, I think, that both you and I have experienced personally is that if you allow the universe to steer you to some degree, you will often end up in a very good place.
Well, you didn't allow the universe. It just grabbed hold of you and wouldn't let go.
Well, eventually,
your destiny grabbed hold of you and wouldn't let go.
After about 2 years of hearing the messages from, I don't know, 8 or 10 different clients, I finally said, okay, I think I'm ready now. And it was great, and it's been magnificent.
I had that same experience with the books. I kicked and screamed because I didn't want to write books, and the universe wouldn't let go, but that's another story. Okay, so where are we? So that, you know, those disasters, those times that I were knocked down, the time that I was knocked down would teach me what worked and what didn't work. So we're either going to succumb to the outer circumstances. I want you all to listen to this because the last few years have been a lot of those, quote, outer circumstances, and not only domestically but internationally. We either succumb to the outer circumstances or we reach for that universal life jacket and we learn to connect. That's what I'm about. Okay? Teaching you how
That's
to connect.
That's a wonderful phrase, the universal life jacket. I don't think I've heard
universal life jacket. Yeah. You know, that's it. You give up, you succumb, or you say, nope, there's a better way. So that's what I did. And I didn't know it. And all that time, you know, my 15 minutes of fame with all the publicity turned into a 20-year career. But I didn't know in all that time that I was being groomed by this universal power. And we'll talk about what that power is in a moment. I did not know that I was being groomed to learn these laws so that one day I would teach and help others. And that didn't come into awareness until 9 years ago when I was encouraged to teach. And I'd
Before we get to that, though, let's make this a little concrete and talk, for example, about how you landed Candle Soup. It's such a wonderful story.
No, that's too soon to get into to that. I need to wrap up my background here, and then we can get into to because that's like just such a small piece of the pie. Well, it's a big piece, but it's kind of off topic at this point. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll visit.
Give me a little patience. We'll get to all of that. I know you want to talk about all of the outer things, but I want to tell all of your listeners and you, Shelley, that tonight this is going to be consider me a crossover between the metaphysical and the business world. Okay? Don't get scared by the word metaphysical if you're not familiar with it. It's not all woo-woo. Metaphysical means beyond physical. It's anything that's beyond what we know. The grounded, a lot of you have studied marketing, you've studied business. Well, I'm telling you, a house cannot stand without a foundation, and you can have all the business and marketing know-how in the world, and you won't succeed unless you have that foundation. That foundation is your mindset. So if you'll allow me, Shel, I want to establish a foundation here for this call, and everything else will come out of that. But it'll have a foundation, and then everyone will be able to grasp what was going on, okay? Is that okay?
Go for greatness. Go for
okay.
it.
Okay. So I, you know, in all of this time back then, I'd never considered that these laws were my passion, what I call prosperity laws. These mental and spiritual laws were my passion in life, but my goal was only to help myself. I didn't know that I would ever be capable or have the ability to help other people. But the doors started to open and open naturally, and I said, okay, if I'm supposed to teach these laws in the universe, give me a method, give me the gift to be able to help others. Give me something simple, something easy, like I use for myself, that others can grasp easily and get the results quickly so they don't have to go through my 40-year journey of study. And from that request was born a series of lessons called the Feel Free to Prosper program. And that was the beginning of my reinvention.
That came across a little bit mumbly, so I'll say it clearer. The Feel Free to Prosper program.
I didn't say that clearly, sorry. Yes, Feel Free to Prosper program. Now, I had never been online. I had never been on a computer before. This was the first time I was on a computer. But I had got, because I had an office in Century City here for my business for 16 years, and I had word processors and other people doing my contracts. I was intimidated by computers. But I had gotten online on a social media site, and I was like a kid in a candy store. I didn't know there was such a thing as talking to people on the Internet or social media or posts and threads on forums. And I started my network called the Feel Free to Prosper Network, and that was really magical. People started to come for the lessons from all over the world, and testimonials flew in. I was just absolutely just amazed at what had happened. And I knew, I just knew. This was like breathing to me. I was home. I knew I was tuned into my destiny, and I couldn't stop. But I asked myself, I said, you know, how can I make a living doing this? I was used to making these big chunks of money from those big corporate and convention events. And I said, how can I make a living doing this? I didn't even know there was such a thing as a coaching industry. And I said, universe, give me a sign. Am I supposed to do this? Because I couldn't stop. As I said, it was like breathing. It was coming from my soul. And I knew I had to keep doing this. And now we're getting to the answer. Out of the blue came a fluke phone call. It wasn't even from a business source. It was a housewife in Los Angeles calling, and she said, I know someone who's looking for a home to rent for a week, a mansion for a week. And I said, well, I'm in the special events industry. You would need to call a real estate company if you need a home for a week. She said, no, it's for a party. And I said, a party for a week? And she said, you know, I don't know anything about it. I'll have someone call you. And I just hung up, and I figured it was nothing. A half an hour later, I heard from a gentleman back east. It was a marketing company, and he said, someone just handed me your phone number. We've been looking for 6 months for the right mansion for our client for a promotion, and someone gave me your number. Well, that client was Campbell Soup. And they spent, over the next 3 years, they spent over, the last time I looked at there's a marketing magazine, I think it's called Promo Magazine or something like that, though, I saw that they had spent over $450 million to promote to children. And I was their key vendor. I used the prosperity laws to manifest the most amazing locations for these promotions. And on my website, you could see the castle in England and the Hollywood mansions and the island in the Caribbean. You see what had happened. You asked me, how did I attract Campbell Soup? Remember, that wasn't while I was doing the business full force. That was when I started teaching Feel Free to Prosper. What happened was the universe said to me, you just keep doing what you're doing and you help people with your teachings. You'll be provided for. I'll take care of you. That's exactly what happened. I end up doing 6 promotions for Campbell's for 3 years, and after that I told them I can't do it anymore. And they took very little of my time, by the way. They did all the advertising. I did book the sites for a couple of the TV commercials, but their events people managed. I found the locations. I made big chunks of money just with those castle in England, Eastnor Castle, and the other locations. I got a call from Campbell's Canada during that three-year period, and they said, we're seeing what you're doing for Campbell's U.S. Will you do the same thing for us? So I booked everything twice. You see, I'm telling you, when we tune into our destiny, you know this thing about law of attraction? Wonderful. Law of attraction is a valid law, and it's become a buzzword in the last years. But, you know, it says you have to visualize and you magnetize your good to you, you know, what you want to you. Well, I'm going to tell you this. You tune into that universal presence, whatever you conceive it to be, and it has gifts for you that you can't even imagine for yourself. I could never have imagined these things that happened to me over all of these times. There's more your inheritance is greater than you could ever believe it is for yourself. So that was the cushion. Campbell's was the cushion to help me build Feel Free to Prosper. That's what allowed me to build my life's purpose here. And Feel Free to Prosper took off, and I just released it was a little difficult to let go entirely. Clients kept coming, but I just released my former business because this is my mission. This is my sole mission in life. It's taking my experience, my knowledge, and bringing it to others so they can benefit. And that's the legacy I want to leave.
So obviously when you asked the universe for a sign, they sent you a very large, flashing neon sign.
Yes, exactly. And I said, thank you, universe. That was a very good sign. Listen, I was selling lessons for a pittance on a social media site, but the testimonials kept coming in. I knew I was doing something that was meaningful. And yet, I say, how does someone turn this into, you remember you were talking about monetizing on our knowledge, having the experience, getting the publicity. But that's part of it.
Yeah, I just
half
want
of
to
it.
Frame
the other
that
part is monetizing.
As you're, before you go there, just let me say that you and I, in our private correspondence and on our phone calls, we've talked about how getting publicity for some people, including me, is very easy. But turning that publicity into money mm-hmm. has been, for me, much harder. And you seem to have an absolute gift for it.
My gift is that I have learned to trust. That's what this is all about. You know, my program is about that mental and spiritual laws. Yes, they're mental techniques, because we're going to talk about this, and I'm going to teach you a lot tonight. So everybody, just put your feet up, relax, and really, this probably will be a long call, but you're really going to learn a lot. And they're all the mental techniques that we need to deal with the subconscious, and we'll discuss that. But there's the spiritual component, and my ultimate goal with my teachings with Feel Free to Prosper, as a teacher, my ultimate goal is to get each student to become aligned with that universal power, that presence, that creative force in the universe. And once you do, that alignment, that's where all the money comes from. That's where all of the answers come from. And I'm going to teach you tonight that it is not your burden. The burden of manifestation, of creating the life you want for yourself, is not yours alone. It's not your total responsibility. You have the greatest power in the universe, the greatest force in the universe at your disposal, if you will learn to align with it. It can bring you the publicity, and it can also bring you the clients and the jobs and the money and all of the good things that you want in life. And it's all about learning to make that connection and trust. So my gift is I've learned to trust. Didn't happen overnight, but when it happened, it happened. It does. You don't do it halfway. Once you make that connection, then you're full. I like to say full faith ahead.
I like that.
Okay. So that's my story. That's the background.
Okay. So let's fast forward a couple of decades and talk about now what the work looks like for you as a practitioner of this work.
Well, instead of what it looks like for me, I would like to really get into, it's important for me, before every interview I do, I have my chat with the universe. I actually have chats with the universe quite often. And I just ask that everyone who needs to hear what I have to share, that I attract to this interview, this call, those people who need to hear what I have to say and who need what I have to offer. So I'd like to spend our time giving the best that I can to your listeners and teaching them. They know enough about me, and hopefully that enough to know that I'm coming from a place of experience and learning, so that I have that they will trust me to share this information with them. Before we get started on the topics, I know that we have a savvy audience in the business world, and probably many are familiar with metaphysical concepts and universal laws. But I want to give you a little foundation that I like to do before every interview for the benefit of those who are not familiar with my teachings or these laws. And from this foundation, you'll have a better understanding of the topics we're going to talk about. So the first thing I'd like to do, I'll give you my perspective, my views on what are these mental and spiritual laws.
Okay.
Let's think of this as a matrix. I like the word matrix, so that all of you who are listening, this will give you something to process, so that at least you'll have a better understanding of the subsequent topics that I cover. So let's ask, so what are these mental and spiritual laws? Well, the universe as we know it, as we see it and experience it, we know that's not all there is. The universe is always in motion. It's a vibrating, pulsating, resonating, magnetizing force, and we also know that at the molecular level, everything is in motion. Everything is pure energy. So what we are talking about here is the pure, formless substance of the universe. Now, this is important. We can think of this in spiritual terms as God, higher power, spirit, or the universe. We can address it mentally as infinite intelligence, universal mind, divine mind, or even formless substance. Or we can think of it scientifically as energy or relativity, or some people take a giant leap into the area of quantum physics, where it's known as the field of all possibilities. So just think of this age we live in, the mental, the spiritual, the scientific aspect of the laws of life. It's all there. Whatever we want, it's there for the asking. Now this power, however you perceive it, is the source of everything we desire. Let me say that again. This power, however you perceive it, is the source of everything we desire. It is awaiting our recognition, and it will create, attract, guide us to inspired action, magnetize and mold itself to whatever form we desire if we align ourselves with it through certain laws called universal laws. What are these laws? Well, we know that there are laws of physics, laws of chemistry, laws of mathematics, but most people are not aware of the laws that govern the mental and spiritual realms, the creative laws of the universe that govern our existence. Or you may know something about them, but don't know how to relate to them or how to use them. So how do we know these laws exist, or that this universe or power exists, aside from any intuitive feeling that it does, or because Marilyn here says it does? We know, we know because of its responsiveness. Responsiveness by the results we experience when we align ourselves with it.
So this is very empirical. You are testing things out and they work, and you are aligning yourself with the things that work.
Exactly. I'll tell you from my own personal experience, once you become aware of the response of this universal presence, you'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You will feel a love and a connection and a sense of security that is greater than anything you have felt on an earthly level. This also helped me to believe that this is a very loving presence. The laws work for everyone. Everyone. The law of gravity works for everyone, right? Successful people are using the mental and spiritual laws. They just may not realize they are doing so. And you are using these laws all of the time, whether you realize it or not. Only you are most likely not using them for the purpose and intention that you desire consciously. How many times have you attracted into your life things that you feel you did nothing to deserve and said, why did this happen? Remember that I said I teach that the universal laws are simple. The actual principles and the techniques that relate to the laws are surprisingly simple. We humans complicate things. Let's use the law of gravity as an example. Yes, we do. Let's use the law of gravity as an example. We do not need to have a vast knowledge of the laws of physics to understand how gravity works. We know that if we step off a tall building, we will fall. We know that if we align ourselves with this law correctly, the law of gravity, we won't have any mishaps, right? So it's exactly the same with the mental and spiritual laws. If we align ourselves with them correctly, we won't have mishaps. We will instead experience joyful results. So how do we align ourselves with it, with this power? Well, we connect with this power, this creative force of the universe, within through the channel of our subconscious mind, through our thoughts and our feelings. The subconscious mind is the most fantastic computer you could ever imagine. It keeps our heart beating, our lungs breathing. It has a perfect memory of every cell in our body. It has also recorded and stored everything that we have ever heard, said, felt, and experienced. And unfortunately, that includes all of the faulty beliefs and the negative patterns from others that we have acquired from the time we were very young, usually from the time we were very young, sometimes in adulthood, through our lifetime. So our thoughts and our feelings, our deepest beliefs, Those are the keys to connecting with the power that responds to our desires. But first, we must break through and overcome the negative thought patterns and beliefs that we have acquired since childhood. Now, the difference between the subconscious and a computer, we can't delete anything from the subconscious. And my students love this. They are so relieved when they hear this. We don't have to. It's not necessary to delete everything from the subconscious. In order to shift our consciousness, we create a new dominant thought. Now, most of us know the subconscious does not like to change, and it will create resistance, you know, just like when we try to change a habit. But there are techniques and methods for influencing the subconscious in a way that does not create an argument, and I call this friendly persuasion. We gently shift the consciousness to create a new dominant thought in the mind, and that's the key, the dominant thought. The dominant thought in our conscious and our subconscious is what determines our circumstances. Why do we attract those things that we don't desire? Those results are the outcropping of the thoughts and impressions that are established in your mind on the subconscious level. So we must shift our consciousness to a new dominant thought, a new awareness. And when we do so, we open ourselves to the influence of that creative power of the universe, to what I call our invisible means of support. Subconscious records everything. Everything you've ever heard or said or felt is recorded in perfect memory, whether you or not you're conscious of it. And often the more casual words are the ones that drop into the subconscious more easily, and they're accepted by the subconscious because you're not monitoring them or refuting them. Now, here's an analogy that my students love, and when I've done interviews, everyone seems to love this, and it helps them understand. I share this with regard to manifesting our desires by creating agreement between the conscious and subconscious minds. Let's think of the conscious mind as the husband, the assertive male aspect of mind, and the subconscious as the passive receptive aspect of mind. The husband impregnates the wife. I like the word impregnated. It's one of my favorite words dealing with the idea of the conscious and subconscious mind. When the subconscious becomes impregnated with this new seed thought, this new idea, then from this union, children are born. These children are your answered prayers or your desired results. So it is through this marriage of the conscious and subconscious mind, when they both agree on an idea, that the idea will become manifest. Now, what we must do, we must teach the husband now how to impregnate the wife. And that's the key.
Okay, and maybe you want to use a specific example of how you can use that analogy. Walk through a situation where you are able to shift the dominant thought toward the alignment with the universe's higher purpose.
It would be for anything. For anything. We make a decision for what we want with our conscious mind. We use our conscious mind to instill this idea into the subconscious until it's accepted. That's for anything we want. Once the seed has been accepted in the soil of the mind, it will grow and manifest, just as the seed planted in a ground will become a plant or a flower or a tree. First, we do our job and plant the seed. That's our desire. We nurture the soil with positive thoughts and expectation. That's the water and sunshine. Positive thought and expectation is the water and sunshine for our subconscious garden. Then we turn the job over to universal mind, to the creative forces, and we can relax and let go, and our manifestation will come. There's no such thing as half pregnant. The baby will be born. Now,
okay, maybe I could put this in real terms by talking about the helpful meditation you gave me when we thought a couple of months ago that we were going to have a problem getting our tenant out so we could sell the house. And you gave me the direction of envisioning these people finding a really good situation to live in and leaving happily, and in fact, they found an apartment at the same rent they were paying in the same town that my house had been in, which was we had been undercharging them, and we didn't think they would find something in that price range, and we were really pretty nervous that they weren't going to leave. But I went over that thought.
Was it a specific affirmation or prayer?
It was a specific affirmation.
So what I did was envisioning a
positive outcome. That I repeated.
Well, that's a little more advanced. Envisioning and imagining is a little more advanced, but because you were already doing the Feel Free to Prosper program, though. You had already been doing the Feel Free to Prosper program.
Yeah. But the end result was they moved out on time. And we sold the house on the expected closing date, and after subtracting what we owed on the mortgage and the closing costs, we were able to deposit $221,000 in the bank, which was a very nice day.
And how long had you been trying to get them out and trying to sell?
Well, not that tenant, but we had put the house on the market originally in 2005 and withdrawn it, and then put it back on, I forget what year, and withdrawn it. And here, the very first people that came to look at it made a good offer.
Mm-hmm. You created a new dominant thought in your subconscious. You created a new dominant thought in your subconscious mind.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to share that example. Yeah, is because I wanted to show that really worked. The outcome shifted from the likely outcome to the desired outcome.
And it could happen very quickly, but it can work for anything. Little things, what you consider little things or big things, money, clients, business. The laws are the laws. Gravity doesn't work for one thing and one person and not another, or one thing and not another. So these laws are very, very specific and can be applied to absolutely anything you want in life. As long as you understand that what you're doing is you shifted your subconscious belief to we'll never sell this house to the house is sold, right?
Yeah, the house is sold and the tenants have left.
We shifted your dominant thought. Exactly, that's exactly what happened.
There's the power of this stuff.
Now, it is something. So really, based on this, you understand that I think this example, your example, helps to get the message across that. And this is the message. I want everyone to come to a clear understanding that I said earlier. You don't have to carry the burden of manifestation on your shoulders. When you try to do it all yourself, it usually doesn't work. You have at your disposal the creative forces of the entire universe waiting to do your bidding if you just do your part and apply the rules. So what you did, Shell, is you applied the rules, and the universe brought you. This power will move mountains. It will orchestrate all kinds of things to make the right elements come together for the end result, and that's what happened here, right?
Yeah, and you know, I don't think I ever told you this piece of the story.
Yeah.
That the tenant's daughter who was living there had just had a baby, and Massachusetts, where I live, has a de-letting law that at 6 months of age, the parents of the baby could have demanded that I spend tens of thousands of dollars on lead remediation.
Really?
And we got them out on month number 5.
Well, you've heard me say the universe is your marketing department. You've heard me say the universe on speed dial. I don't know if your listeners have heard that, but that's my tagline, the universe on speed dial. But I also have another personal quote my students love. The universe is always on time.
Yeah.
So when you tune in, the timing is perfect. We've all experienced things in life that was perfect timing. Well, how would it be if timing for all of those big things you want in life is perfect, exquisite timing? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And that's what can happen. Perfect timing.
I look forward to incorporating more of that into my life.
Yeah, that was a great example. Yeah, that was a biggie for you. Yeah, I remember. So the only thing that is important, learn how the system works. You don't have to know all the details. You don't have to do all. You're not the technician. Okay, I'm the kind of person who likes to put the key in the car and drive it. You know, let the mechanics handle what's under the hood. And it reminds me that you just need to learn to align, learn these laws, use them. Someone once asked Henry Ford what electricity was, and he answered, "Madam, it just is. Use it." Remember, we don't have to have a knowledge of quantum physics. Hey, I'm giving you the laws. Just use them. It's that simple.
Yeah, I've long since learned that there are times when I just need to stop asking why all the time and just do it.
Well, I also tell people, stop analyzing. That is one. I used to be an analyzer. You can analyze things to a point where, you know, there's a difference between intelligence and wisdom. We need both. There is a time to set aside our intelligence. All you left brain people. there's a time to set aside intelligence and learn to rely on wisdom. I believe wisdom comes from that divine source, intuitive guidance, I call it. We can tap into our intuitive guidance to the direction of this universal power if we sometimes get our intellect out of the way, get our conscious mind out of the way. We need both. But to manifest our desires, it's not the intellectual left brain part is to learn to apply, do the techniques, learn to apply the laws, learn to impregnate the subconscious with what we want. But the manifesting area is in the intuitive realm. But that was a perfect example, yes. Excellent.
All right. Do you want to give us another one of the laws?
Want to talk about affirmations? Because most people have heard about affirmations. You want to know why affirmations may not bring you results? Why I say that? Everybody hears affirmations, right? Well, I don't even teach about affirmations. I'm not saying affirmations don't work, so hear me out here. I just don't teach about affirmations in the beginning of my program for the reasons that follow. We don't even learn about affirmations until lesson two, and in that material, there's a lot to learn about the different types of affirmations, how to compose them, how to use them, when to use them, and why they wouldn't get results. In my first lesson in my program, I do have two affirmations that I specifically compose that to speed the process, but my students do not compose their affirmations until later. Now, in my 30 years of study, well, now it's probably more 40 years of study, I have found that a lot of the modern gurus just don't seem to have a lot of the subtle information, the subtleties about affirmations, and I spent decades studying these subtleties. I have to say my teachers were the most brilliant in the areas of mental and spiritual science and in clinical hypnosis. I actually studied, never became a hypnotist, and I early on had a real interest in the power of the mind and in hypnosis and using the mind and the creative powers of the mind, but then I transitioned into that spiritual realm because I realized it was not one-sided. There were two parts to this. And I've often said that I intuitively feel that probably 80% of the people who use affirmations don't get results, and there's a reason for this. The reason people have come to me have been studying the mind stuff for years, and professionals, I mean PhDs, hypnosis professionals, not just lay people like us. Why don't they get results? They don't really understand how the subconscious mind works, and especially they don't know how to address the resistance. Remember we talked about you can't create resistance in the subconscious, and I'll give you an example. If there is a mindset or a thought pattern of lack established in the subconscious mind and you were to apply the types of affirmations that are generally recommended, here's what happens. Your subconscious mind has an established pattern of lack. And you might use an affirmation such as, I am wealthy, I am prosperous. We've all heard those. So you know what happens? Your subconscious...
You get laughed at by your subconscious.
Exactly. You go, well, say you Shell's been a student of the program, so yeah, he knows a lot of these answers. Your subconscious knows you're lying, and it resists. You feel that you're lying. The subconscious doesn't want to change. It says, no, we're not wealthy or prosperous. And yet then you look around at the appearances, and you look at the pile of bills, and you say, yeah, right, who am I kidding? So now, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking more about? What are you focused on now?
The lack.
Exactly. You're focused more on lack. And because you are now focused more on lack, circumstances will be perpetuated. I don't like to say this, but hey, I'm just the messenger. I didn't invent this. I didn't invent the laws. I'm just the messenger. They may even get worse. So if you don't know how to use affirmations, you may actually make your conditions worse. It reminds me of don't think of a white elephant.
Uh-huh. So you had mentioned before the idea of gently retraining your subconscious.
Getting there.
And this
I'm getting
might be a time to revisit that and to talk about the kinds of affirmations that do work.
Well, that would take a whole call in itself. That's 12 pages.
Okay.
Program. Well, but I'm going to answer. You're tuning in. You are intuitively tuning in to what I'm going to explain. So I'm going to answer the question. And So what we don't want to do is cause that resistance in the subconscious because we know it doesn't want to change. Now, you have to understand that the part of the mind, the subconscious part of the mind doesn't reason. The conscious mind reasons. Subconscious doesn't reason. It just accepts input as an order. And once it accepts a mindset or a thought pattern, it will resist any effort to change it. But that's what it's supposed to, again, it's supposed to keep our heart beating. Just think how many times does your heart beat in a lifetime or you take a breath. And, it's meant to be static. It's meant to our autonomic nervous system. Their subconscious mind was not meant to take in all that faulty wiring, I call it, faulty conditioning. But once it accepts the mindset or pattern, it will resist a change. If you give it information that it doesn't accept, it will argue and do everything to maintain the status quo. And you may, as I said, get the opposite of what you want. So the answer is not creating an argument or resistance in the subconscious And that's why we teach techniques that are gently, as you say, they gently persuade the subconscious to shift and accept the new prosperous idea without creating resistance. The friendly persuasion, that's the key, not creating resistance. What people don't realize is that affirmations will not be effective until you have tilled the soil of the mind first. Once the subconscious soil is tilled, it will accept the seeds that you plant, and otherwise it won't. That's why I don't teach affirmations until later. In the first lessons of the program, we use words. We use words instead of statements and declarations and affirmations. And the words help till the soil of the mind. Then, now, once that the subconscious soil is tilled, the student can learn and understand how affirmations really work, how to choose the right kinds of affirmations, and there are many, how to compose them. It's like mental gardening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious that the
universe... speaking of words... Mm-hmm. You have some words that you want to banish from our vocabularies. Let's start with the word want and talk about that.
I'd like to wait until I have a whole segment I'd like to talk about words. If you can hold that thought until we get to the power of words.
I can do that.
Okay. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk a little bit, just a touch more about the affirmations. It's obvious that there is a key here, a very powerful key to the manifestation process about affirmations. And this is because this is a really interesting point. I didn't want to forget to mention this. Affirmations are not just one breed. There are many types, many different ways to use them. If you don't use them correctly, as I said, you can create the opposite of what you want. But believe it or not, even the way you were brought up, whether you accepted parental authority or not as a child, will determine whether certain types of affirmations will work for you. People find that fact pretty intriguing. So the way you were brought up and responded to authority as a child could determine whether your subconscious will accept those worded in the first or second person. First person meaning I am. Second person would be you are. Do you know what I'm referring to here?
Yeah, I do, but I'd like to hear you explain who would use which kind.
I don't know. I could get into everybody's mind. It would depend on...
No, I mean, I'm talking about personality types, not specific people.
I don't know. Like, I'm not a psychologist, so I wouldn't go into that area. All I know is that the way that someone is brought up as a child can determine which types work best. Obviously, when you start using affirmations, you'll know whether they're working for you or not, whether you're feeling the resistance or they feel right to you. And that can be based on your subconscious conditioning from when you were a child.
Mm-hmm. I could hazard a guess that if you're raised in a family where things are mostly phrased in the second person, and particularly if there's a certain authoritarian tone to the family culture, you'll probably do better with affirmations that are in the second person. If you're more of a, if you were raised by people who are more... validating of their children's accomplishments, not just the kinds of accomplishments that the stereotype Jewish mother would brag about to her friends, but whether it's spiritual accomplishments or academic accomplishments or whatever, validation of who you are as a person, my guess is you respond better to the I messages.
I would think it'd be the opposite. If someone were... In the second person, parents were constantly being authoritative and telling their children what to do, and the child didn't want to do it, I would think they would resist the second person. They would resist the you are, because it would remind them on a subconscious level of their parents telling them what to do. No?
Well,
again,
I don't know.
I'm not a psychologist.
Something you might want to, as you go forward, look at the patterns in your own students and see if you can identify what causes people to respond to one or the other, because it may be an issue. There may be people.
Except that I don't deal with my students personally. I don't do the personal work with students, so I would have to do a research study on that, and I don't have enough to do at this point in my career.
Well,
it's been expanding,
We'll leave that for another researcher.
I have thousands of testimonials and notes, and Katie and my people help take, and then we file everything away, and sometimes I get in there and I go and read everything, and sometimes they will share things. But, That wouldn't be something I could do. In the years that I personally mentored students, I was able to tell which worked. It was really easy to tell which felt the click. Florence Scovel Shinn was a great teacher. She said it's the affirmation that clicks with you is the one that's going to work, the one that creates that feeling of possibility. You know when you're having resistance to something.
Mm-hmm.
So if I will create an affirmation for a student and they'll say, oh, yeah, I like that, their response will tell me
mm-hmm.
if they like it or not. How they were raised, we don't get into that. But we'll know if you are or I am works. There's even a third person. Some affirmations could be in the third person.
Yeah, like the one that I used to assist my tenants in their journey out.
If they're third person, meaning, the first person would be, this is you talking. Or, well, let me give myself an example. Okay, I am. Second person, this is my talking to myself, you are. Third person would be, Marilyn is. Speaking about yourself in the third person.
Okay, speaking about yourself.
Yeah. So it would be shall saying I am. In other words, I shall am, or shall you are, or shall is.
Yeah. I know that I respond much better to first-person affirmations than second-person.
To I am?
Yes, I am.
I have, or I am.
I have not played with third-person affirmations for myself. I've played with it, you know, for the results that I want to see others doing.
So you don't need to really know, go back to study and you know, decide what happened in your childhood. You will know by how your subconscious responds which one will work best for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a fascinating fact that that's why some people may not get results from affirmations for that fact alone. So, okay. That's about affirmations. Okay. How about, let's talk about why you shouldn't try to create success.
Great one, yeah.
Yeah? You like that one?
Yeah.
In fact, I say trying will never get you there. So everybody who's listening to this call, when this call is over, you have to stop trying to be successful. Okay? Is that a promise from everyone? Here's
why.
There is a law. You probably didn't know there's a law called the law of reverse effort. In fact, I don't know of any modern teacher that I've ever come across that ever mentions it. I guess I was just lucky or guided back then. It's not luck, it's law. I don't believe in luck. I only believe in law. Did you know there is a law called the law of reverse effort? It states that the harder you try to do something, the less chance you have of achieving it. Trying implies a negative. It suggests to the mind that you may not accomplish. I've only heard one entity talk about this. And I say entity because he wasn't human. Yoda in Star Wars. Yoda recognized this truth when he wisely said, do or do not, there is no try. I love that. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because try
do or
is
do
really,
not, there is no try.
It's very vague, it's waffly, it's not committing to anything.
Exactly. We plant our seeds in preparation. We want our desired result to grow and manifest, just as the seed planted in the ground becomes a plant or a flower. So we do our job, we plant our seeds. We nurture the soil with positive thoughts and expectations. And as I said, we turn the job over to universal mind, to the creative forces. We relax and let go. Now, here's a concrete example. Did you ever replace your keys or an object and you try to figure out where it is but you can't? And the moment your attention is somewhere else and you stop thinking about it and forcing the answer, suddenly the answer pops into your mind. Well, in fact, for me what happens, sometimes it won't even pop into my mind. I will misplace something, can't find it, and then when I forget about it, I will just naturally walk to where it is. Or I'll open a drawer and I'll say, oh, there it is. Subconscious took me right to where it was. So this principle can apply, and of course, in a much broader scope to your life and your business. Did you ever have an important problem to solve and tried everything to find a solution, but you couldn't? Then from sheer exhaustion, you gave up. Suddenly the answer appeared.
That's another way of doing this sometimes is to put it on the back burner of your mind and like go to sleep and wake up, and often you know the answer. When you stopped agonizing over it all night long.
And stop trying. Yeah. Trying and agonizing. Yeah, same family.
It's funny, the thing about keys, I, I, I at one point had misplaced my glasses, and I asked my subconscious for help finding it, and it led me to a pair of glasses. However, it was a pair of glasses I no longer used.
But did you ever find your other glasses?
There. I did, but it was like 3 days before I finally found them.
But the were you trying to still trying to find the other pair, or did you stop trying?
When I finally stopped trying, I actually called up my optometrist and say, I think you better put my old lenses in another frame for a while. Then it showed up.
Because you stopped trying. You finally decided, okay, I'm going to have to get new glasses. Obviously, if you drop your keys or ring into a faucet or someplace and it's out in the river, you're not going to get those keys back again or that ring
right.
or whatever. But what we're talking about here is the idea of trusting again that power that knows all the answers. That when we're taking on the burden of having to do this ourselves, and the trying does imply the negative. So what you did is by calling the doctor, you gave up trying.
Mm-hmm.
You gave up, and the answer appeared. The easier way to do it would have been, Shell, to just say, okay, universe or spirit or whatever, quantum field, bring me my, that's what I do. Take me to my, find me my glasses. Take me to,
yeah,
show me.
That's when it took me to the pair that I hadn't used in a couple of years.
You know, what's really, well, you had, until you let go of the other, you were given at least a transitional pair. So the important thing is the universe let you see during the time till you finally found the other ones and let go. The thing that I learned along the way, one of my biggest lessons was that I used to kick and scream to make things happen or to get what I want or something went amiss. And I came to the point, that's when I was ready to teach. I came to this realization, we humans feel that we have to suffer and we have to go through much in order to, what is it, that we don't feel we deserve to have instant answers? We just don't know we can have instant answers. We have to do so much. I think there's something, this is a fault with the human race, and if we suffer enough, we'll get our answer. We'll get what we want if we work hard enough and suffer enough and as you say, agonize enough. And guess what? I learned that I don't have to kick and scream to get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to kick and
mm-hmm.
scream at the universe.
It's a great thing to learn.
All I have to do is ask, and the answer will come. Oh, my gosh, it saves so much energy, saves so much time. And really, that's the lesson. That's the learning period, is when we give up all that control and learn how these laws work. It makes life, we're in the flow of life. We just are in the flow of life, and things just fall into place.
Yeah.
Or you may not lose your glasses in the first place. Again, when you're advanced, it doesn't let you make a wrong turn, or get lost on your driving or lose your glasses.
Yeah. But so much about this, it really is about mindset, and we really can set the parameters. Long before I knew you, back in my 20s, I made a conscious decision to have a happy life. And let me tell you, it was the best decision I ever made.
Okay.
And I didn't know about the universal laws. Then I just said, I'm tired of being miserable. I'm going to have a happy life from now on.
Yeah. And your subconscious aligned you with that. It took your message. You must have been serious about it. Like when I was serious, I said, that's it. I'm going to do this. When you make that decision and you really mean it, your subconscious, there are only two ways your subconscious can accept suggestion. One is through repetition, and another is through faith. And faith is not, I don't mean religious faith, although religion does use that in that respect, but faith can mean a child. Let me give you an unfortunate example, and believe it or not, when I mentored students, I came across this more than I wanted to. I wished I hadn't come across it. Real life, but let's say a young child, a parent, is angry at a child and says, just in a moment of anger, says, the child does something wrong, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything. That child will take that suggestion into the subconscious by faith. The parent is an authority figure, and that young
mm-hmm.
mind has faith that that's correct. And that child will grow up to be an adult. No matter how they work, no matter what they do, they can't seem to succeed. Because the subconscious believes they're stupid and they'll never amount to anything. And as I said, the sad part is that when I, in private mentoring, I have mentored students that had the exact thing happen to them, which is obviously disheartening. But see, all of that can be changed. The one thing that I do teach my students, teach everyone, is that our past does not dictate. That's the beauty of this work. Your past does not dictate your present or your future. It could all change. My background was very negative, and when I made up my mind, I changed it. So just to wrap up this idea of trying, we might say that in between the time to plant and the time to sow is a time to let go. Dr. Murphy, my great teacher, I knew Dr. Joseph Murphy, who wrote The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. He just lived a few blocks from here. I'm in Los Angeles. And he called it divine indifference. When I first learned about divine indifference. It's okay if it happens, okay if it doesn't. Why do we get the parking spaces? Because it's not life or death. If we were the same way, if we had that same divine indifference about the major things in life, about our clients and our business, it would all, clients would just flow, money would just come. I call it going into neutral. I've heard it called detachment. I think in law of attraction, the term allowing. I call it going into neutral. Stop trying to make it happen. Back to something you said earlier about wanting something. And that's another story about wanting. If you want something, this is a little more advanced, but I'll go ahead and sneak this in here. If you want something, well, see, subconscious can only create for us what it believes is an existing reality. Let me repeat that. The subconscious mind can only create for us what it believes is an existing reality. What you're thinking right now, this moment, is your future. And that's why the things we don't want keep perpetuating, keep going on and on and on, because we don't change that now thought. Now, if you say, I want this, what is the message that you're giving your subconscious mind? If you say, I need to get this, or I need to attract clients, I want clients, what is the message you're giving? Okay, Shell, you've got some of these lessons. Let's see if you come up with the answer. What is the message you're giving your subconscious if you say you want
something? I'm going to be careful in my phrasing here because I don't want to use the I form here. The person who is phrasing is saying that they don't have it.
Exactly. And everybody, Shell, is familiar with my lessons, so he's had a little bit of advantage here. But yes, if you're telling if you want something and desire something, you're telling your subconscious you don't have it. And all the subconscious believes is, I don't have it. So getting into the study of applying the laws is we don't learn how to. I don't teach people how to attract things. And well, in a sense, I do, but it's not really about teaching you to get something or manifest or attract it or bring it to you. I'm teaching you how to receive it. All you need to do is receive and accept, and it will fly to you.
Mm-hmm. And it could be something as simple as a parking space. You mentioned parking spaces, and I was immediately reminded that my stepfather, who is an atheist, I grew up in New York City, okay? Parking spaces in New York City, you don't have to do the math. There are not as many parking spaces as cars.
I lived there three times,
really
never had a car.
Mm-hmm. Really, really hard to park in New York. Yoshi would be driving in Manhattan, and he would, about a block or two before where he was going, he'd say, God, give me a parking space. And on the next block, some person would just jump into their car and get out, and there was his parking space.
I do that all the time. Well, actually,
over and over again.
Actually, I did that at first. Now, I did that at first, exactly, and then I came to a point where all I had to do was close my eyes for a second, and I would then visualize myself backing into a parking space. And someone right in front of me would pull out.
This is a don't-try-this-at-home moment, people. Please do not close your eyes while driving.
No, this is when I'm stopped looking. You know, I'm stopped, not while I'm driving. No. I would be, in other words, I would be at a standstill. I'm driving around. There's no parking space, so I just stop the car. Well, I'm saying this is L.A., you know. You can't, you know, when it's Westwood or some west side of L.A., you know, you're not going to be driving if you're looking for a parking space. It's usually pretty congested. But I would just stop the car, close my eyes, and imagine I'm backing into a space. And it, what is amazing is not that I would find the space. It's that the person right in front would pull out, right there. Mm-hmm. That was uncanny to me. It's almost as if I had a premonition that person was going to come to their car and come out. Or maybe that was it. Maybe I was tuning into the fact that maybe that's why I was led to stop there, because that person was coming to pull out.
Now, the funny thing is my biological father, who was raised Orthodox Jewish, There were at least a couple times where he turned the car around in Manhattan and went back to the Bronx because he got frustrated because he couldn't park. He was not somebody who asked the world for a parking space.
He needed Feel Free to Prosper training.
Yeah.
All right, we're already over now. Are we good in time? We have a lot to we want to cover here tonight. Are we okay with time?
I think we can probably go to an hour and a half.
Okay, well then we better
move on
here. I
don't
want
to push it beyond that.
And we're not going to be able to get into the business aspect if we don't move on here quickly because
well,
I
let's
have
move on.
Things. Okay, let's go. All right, this is really important, very, very important. In fact, I've had students of mine, private students, actually change their lives overnight just by grasping this concept. So I'm going to give you something right from my teachings that is extremely important. So listen up. I am going to share this very important component of my teachings, and if you do grasp it, it will change your financial life. And it'll change your entire life if you broaden your understanding, but I know a lot of you are concerned about the monetary aspect. So here we go. Your business is not your source of income. Your business, your job, your customers, your clients, your investments, and not even your spouse, none of these are your source of income. There is only one source of income, the universe, God, divine presence, infinite spirit, formless substance, infinite intelligence. I don't care what you call it. We're talking about that power. The universe, I like the term universe. It's neutral. I have students from all over the world, many different cultures, different belief systems, religions. So universe is a nice neutral term. That's why I use it. The universe is your source of supply. God is the source of your supply. That is the only source of your supply. All of those other avenues are channels for your supply, but they're not the source. When you truly understand and know this, you will open the pipeline to the unlimited channels of supply that exist for you. And there are indeed unlimited channels through which your good can come to you. The unexpected, along with the expected channels. But you can only become open and receptive to these free-flowing channels when you put your complete reliance on the true source. Let's use the analogy of a kitchen faucet. Simple analogy. The faucet is not the source of water. It's only a channel. If that channel is broken or closed, then there are an infinite number of other channels through which we can get our water. As an example from my past career, I was the owner of a renowned company servicing the corporate convention markets. The 9/11 had a tremendous impact on our industry, as it did for others. I was initially affected by the mass mind thinking. But then a wonderful teacher came out of the blue just when I needed her and reminded me that I had to focus on these truth principles and know that my business of 20 years was not my source of supply. And of course, I knew that. I just didn't remember it. But I knew what I had to do. When I did.
And, you know, for those who might be skeptical of this, let's talk about a science example. Let's talk about the Internet for one moment, because the Internet was constructed exactly on this principle of many, many channels so that if one is blocked, the information can still flow. That is the whole principle of the Internet. That's what made the Internet different from what had come
before. There was no Internet back then. At the time I'm talking about, there was no Internet.
But what I'm saying is the scientists who designed the Internet did –
yeah.
Exactly what they modeled exactly what you're talking about in a science context.
Good. No, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a good analogy. So when I did it, when I went back to source, my reliance on source, channels began to open in totally unexpected areas, and some were totally unrelated to my regular clientele, regular business. Money flowed in. The universe took care of me and provided for me. And then my business rebounded beyond my dreams in ways that then allowed me to fulfill my life purpose by following my heart path, which is what I'm doing now. So when you look at your true source of supply, let it become the senior partner in your business. Your life and your business will prosper. You'll be in the right place in your present situation or a better one if need be. You'll be at peace. And there, you know, a lot of
the universe is not only your marketing department, it's also your senior partner, maybe even your board of directors too.
Chief operating officer, board chairman of the board, senior partner. Yes, it deserves all of any titles you want to give it. I just can't emphasize how important this particular concept is. As I said, I've had students. There's one that stands out in the program. Remember Rashid when you listened to the program? Rashid with his real estate deal?
Yeah.
And 3.5 months, and that real estate deal fell apart. And you know, and he said, and this was in the class, in the group class. That's the Feel Free to Prosper program that was recorded. That particular class became the audio program. And Rashid contacted me and said, Marilyn, can you please help me personally? Because he understood the laws. He had a background in the laws. And this was really important to him and his family. And I just spent a little time with him one night, and he got this thing about source versus channels. And in our next class, he showed up, and when I was asking, how's everything going, he says, oh, I have news. And I thought he was going to say something like, oh, you know, Marilyn and I had a talk, and I have an aha moment. No, he said, as we're speaking, on that class, he says, as we're speaking, they're signing the real estate deal. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, same people? I said, yeah, same people. All came back together. All because he understood that that deal was not his source of income. Once he went back to his source and he stopped relying on the deal as his source of income, the deal, and he said that's unheard of, that a deal 3.5 months later would, you know, that was worked on for 3.5 months and fell apart would come back together with the same people. He made $20,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's what you said about timing before, that the universe has a very good sense of timing. In fact, I thought in the time leading up to the publication of my eighth book, Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green, by John Wiley & Sons, which is a big New York publisher, there were at least three times where I wondered if the deal was dead.
Well,
and
book
each time it came back.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you,
Marilyn. The book industry is so different from every other industry.
It is. It's totally different from every other industry.
That's really in its own.
It did come back, and it came back with the same people.
Well, in this case, it had been a dead deal. Yeah, they absolutely said it had totally fallen apart. Yeah, all of the parties wanted to. It was a business situation, and they all had said no. So, but it happened like overnight. As soon as he released that particular transaction as his source of income. All right, I just want to speed ahead here. Let's talk about words. Remember, earlier we were talking about words. This is important. The words that you are habitually using that are preventing your success. Well, that's the foundation of my Feel Free to Prosper program is words. It's important to realize that every word we speak, every thought we think, every emotion we feel is recorded in the subconscious. Remember I said, through repetition or with enough faith or emotional impact, the subconscious will accept our words as a command. It will subjectively create, it will attract circumstances, conditions, people. It will ensure the fulfillment of our order. Now, even the words, remember I said, even the words spoken casually can bypass the conscious mind and drop into the subconscious and take root. I like to say the subconscious mind cannot take a joke. Seemingly harmless expressions, if repeated, especially if repeated, or even if just, you know, casually used, if accepted by the subconscious, they can produce those undesirable results in our lives. On the other hand, positive, life-enhancing, prosperous, success-oriented words will produce the results that correspond and can bring about astonishing results and turn things around dramatically.
And, you know, to drop out of the prosperity context for a minute into the health fields, I have managed to reduce my weight significantly over the last 15 months or so. And being a student of yours, I do not say that I have lost the weight because I don't want to have it come back and I don't want to find it again. You know, I made a conscious choice to be lighter. I talk about shedding the weight.
You didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that you had a result in your weight loss. Good for you. Wonderful. Good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
But
I'm working on getting about another 15 over the next year or year and a half, and then I'll be at a pretty good weight, I think.
I'll have to get you my I Create My Body program. I have another program dealing on the power of the mind. I call I Create My Body. It's a secondary.
That's not funny. I didn't even know you had that.
Yeah, it's the second most popular program I have. But because I don't promote it, and it's, you know, I'm really the Feel Free to Prosper program is my primary gift there. But yeah, people love that program. But based on what you said, I teach that it's as long as your subconscious has the mindset of being a dieter. Why the yo-yo? Because as long as the subconscious believes you're a dieter, and many people are lifelong dieters, you know, long extended periods are dieters. As long as it believes you're a dieter, you can lose weight. It'll put it back on so you can continue being a dieter.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to release all concept of diet and weight loss, all of that. And we have to change the dominant thought to a fit, healthy body. So there are techniques for doing that with the subconscious. So, yeah, you did that just, well, people have taken the Feel Free to Prosper program and have lost weight who haven't done the I Create My Body program, because once you start understanding the and being aware of your words, and once your subconscious becomes your friend and starts prompting you to use the positive words for what you want, it works in every area of your life. So I'm not surprised that worked so good.
And so, speaking of the Feel Free to Prosper program, I notice we have only 10 minutes left in our call.
But
that might be a good
time. Know, and that's why I want to get this done, because this is important. I don't want to leave anything that I promised to talk about. No stone unturned here, so let me rush through the final part here, and then we can talk about the program. I want everybody who is on this call to walk away with something that's life-changing, whether they buy my program or not. That's important to me, and I think you know that, Shell. If they buy the program, we're thrilled, because then they're going to have open a whole new door to their life. But I want everyone listening to this call to have something meaningful that they can apply right away when they leave the call. Okay. So we know that positive life, you know, repeating successful, prospering words are going to ensure the success and prosperity in your work or business and your life. And it'll open up the channels. Prospering words will open up the channels for income from both expected and unexpected sources, that we can't have it both ways. We can't want one thing and express its opposite and expect the powerful laws of the universe to work on our behalf. You can't claim to feel prosperous and then state that there's no way to pay your bills. That very statement will ensure that the ways to pay those obligations won't get through to you, because those words have now become your law. They represent the law of lack. That's your self-fulfilled prophecy. The law never stops working for you, and you can't stop using it. But you can keep using it to manifest what you don't want. Or you can learn to use it with purpose and in alignment with the abundance that universally exists for everyone, including you, each and every one of you listening. It's there for you. That's your natural birthright. Prosperity is your birthright. Now, we're going to wrap this up here on the single most immediate thing you can do right now to increase your income. That should be easy based on what I just told you. But based on that information, here's the question. What do you think is the single most immediate thing you can do to increase your finances and start attracting money?
Speak about them in a positive way.
The answer is change your words. The single most immediate thing you can do right now, right this moment, when this call is over, start changing your words. Change the words that you speak to reflect those spoken by a successful person, words that represent what you want in life. Eliminate any words or phrases from your vocabulary that represent the opposite of what you want. Another quote of mine, you can quote me on this, if you don't want it, don't say it. You can begin this right now, this very moment. Changing your thoughts usually can't be done quite as quickly or as easily, but by changing your words, you're going to be on your way to changing those undesirable thought patterns and changing your life and finances. Please remember this. Your words have tremendous power. Believe it. Do not doubt this for a moment. Think open sesame. And let me ask you this. How many times today have you said aloud or to yourself, even casually, I can't afford? And never, those of you who are parents, never, ever, ever say to your children, we can't afford or can't afford. If they ask you for something, sometimes parents use that just as an excuse. Oh, we can't afford it. Never, ever say that. You want your children to grow up successful and happy? Don't use negative words about money, about anything, but about money. If they ask you for something, say no. Why? They say, why? Say, because I'm your mother or your father. Maybe later. But don't say, I can't afford. And don't say that to yourself if you want to succeed. And don't talk about recessionary times. Don't talk about the economic client. Only speak in terms of success. Okay. I thought we were going to have some time to talk about some of the publicity and some of the other things, but, you know, it was
important. Maybe we can give it 2 minutes and then move on.
Oh, no. It would take longer than 2 minutes. But you know something? Let people go look at my. If they go to the page with the program, they could read my background. They could see a lot of testimonials. They'll see, you know, what all of that is about.
And we also we did touch on a fair amount of that at the very beginning.
Yes, we did.
So
but I just want you to know.
Mandate to cover it.
I just wanted you to know was really important to me, not to just talk about me and my past experience. I could go, by the way, you can all go read the memoir. There's a link on my website to the entrepreneurial memoir. It's online. The first chapter's on my website. It's free to read. As I said, it's had over 40,000 views, and you can read all about, you could see the publicity and read all about the things that happened over those years. And from the beginning of my breakthrough up until the time I started, it ends where I started teaching Soul Free to Prosper, and you're welcome to read it. People, I get hundreds and hundreds of letters from all over the world, people that love
it. And your website, of course, is feelfreetoprosper.com.
Feelfreetoprosper.com. So you could see more about and read more about the business aspect and the marketing, because it's all about the clients. It's not my personal memoir. It's a business memoir. It's all about the business. So I invite you to while it's free to read, while it's still free to read, you can go read the memoir. Even though it's online, some people print it out, or some people like to read it online because it has all the comments. And
okay, well, let's talk about the program now, and I'll talk about the special deal that you have cooked up for my listeners.
All right, let's talk about the program. Feel Free to Prosper audio program is my flagship program. This is not a promotion program. It's not a specially priced thing for a special offer for an interview. This is the top program I have. This is the Feel Free to Prosper audio program. It's a two-month program, 15 minutes a day is all it requires of homework. You'll follow the calendar each week. It tells you exactly what to do, what to download. It's a PDF lessons, all the Feel Free to Prosper lessons, and once a week you'll listen to the interactive group mentoring class. And that two-month program sells on my website for $497, and because it's you, Shell, I'm letting your listeners buy it for $247. And that is the top program. There's no upsell. I need to say that because that's what everyone does. I know that everyone out there, you know, they put a program out there and sell it, and they upsell to their customers. That's not what I'm about. I'm about getting my gift, what I consider my best gift, into more hands, to more people that need it. And that's I've probably broken every marketing rule in the book. And you forgive me for that. I'm not saying we don't need our marketing people, but, you know.
Reinvented the marketing rules.
I'm just
let's
kind
raise
of an average. The universe is my marketing department. That's the way it is for me. We need new marketing people, and, yes, the real-world marketers out there, I admire anybody who's successful in business who does it with integrity. But I just do things differently. But I'm also giving something also very important to your listeners. I have a 3-hour, 20-minute recorded teleclass called the Feel Free to Prosper Teleclass for Business Success. This is actually the business and career section of my other upcoming book called Feel Free to Prosper, 2 Weeks to Unexpected Income with the Simplest Prosperity Laws. That is the business and career section, and it is, you'll never find that information anywhere. It's the principles, it's the actual business things that I used in my business over that 20 years. And it's a long call and worth every minute. That sells on the website for $97, and I'm giving that free to your listeners as a gift. But
I might mention that I have never heard you do this offer in any of the many calls I've listened with you on various other interviews.
Actually, you're right. You're right. That has not been a bonus on any other call.
So this is something just for us folks, so take advantage of it.
But I do want to tell you that don't listen, please. I recommend for your greatest benefit, and it tells you this on the program too, don't listen to the teleclass for business success until after you have completed the two-month program. The Feel Free to Prosper program is the foundation of the teachings. The teleclass for business success will work for you. All of that will work for you after you do the program, just like those principles work for me. Those are the things I use after I had done my breakthrough and my homework, so to speak. As Dr. Murphy used to tell me, Marilyn, do the homework, you'll get the results. So the subconscious mind does not – I learned when I started teaching. The universe told me you cannot overload and you cannot confuse the subconscious. So even good material, you can overload the mind. So please reserve listening to the bonus until after you've completed the program. And that's it. And if you go to feelfreetoprosper.com/shell, S-H-E-L, that is the special – program page for Shell's listeners. So feel free.
Shell with one L.
One L, yeah. Feel, F-E-E-L, feelfreetoprosper.com/shell. Are you going to be sending them a link? Will you be sending? sending out a link?
Yeah, I'll send the link out again when I send the replay link. I'll send both of those things to Kim.
Because it's not on the website, yeah. If they go right to the main website, they won't find that. That's a private page. It's not for the public.
And once again, that is feelfreetoprosper.com/S, as in Sam, H-E-L, Shell, my name. And Marilyn, you have been just amazing tonight. You know, we've covered a lot of ground. Obviously, you are just a huge reservoir of information and research and stuff that works and empirical knowledge. And I trust that people who've been on the call have really appreciated the willingness you've had to open up and to share and to do something to make their lives better. And I really want to thank you for this. Even if we've been working on doing this for, 4 or 5 months before it actually manifested, we all know from listening to this call that the universe has perfect timing. So this is the right time to have done it. And I think it came out really nicely, and I'm very glad that this happened.
Well, I'm really honored. And you are a spiritual man, but you're also a real-world marketing person, and I'm honored that you would bring me and my maverick views, my uncommon views into your community, and it is an honor, Shell.
As someone who is a self-described marketing heretic, how could I do it any other way?
May I leave your listeners with a couple of quotes that are from greater minds than ours?
But of course.
I think these are timely. I love these quotes. Two of my favorite. Success is not to be measured by how much material wealth is possessed, but whether you are able to create at will what you need. Paramahansa Yogananda, he wrote the Autobiography of a Yogi. And I love this one. First you jump off the cliff and you build your wings on the way down, from Ray Bradbury.
Yeah, that is so beautiful.
Isn't that great? I hear it as sometimes you jump off the cliff and you build your wings on the way down. But yes, one of my favorite too. So yes, thank you so much for having me, and I hope that this call impacted everyone listening in some way.
Okay, Marilyn Janae, thank you so much, and have a great rest of your night and week, and we will, I'm sure, be talking sometime soon.
All right.